The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 3 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Peter Briones. Here are today's headlines. Laval bus drivers are on strike. Billions for buses in Quebec. And Hydro-Quebec squanders a golden opportunity. Bus drivers in Laval are striking today. They started assembling in front of the Laval Transit Corporation offices at around 4 a.m. this morning. Their reason for striking is to fight for better wages and amenities. Cédric Galland is over there right now. So you are at the protest, but it seems more like a party than a protest, right?
Well, yeah, we're talking burgers, we're talking hot dogs, we're talking music, and a lot of fired-up bus drivers. They're expecting a couple of hundreds more, but I can already see a few hundred people, and they're making a lot of noise. The Secretary General of the Union, Anthony Latour, said that they would be coming from all across Quebec. He had this to say.
Right now it's amazing. We're waiting for a lot more people from throughout the Quebec, from Gatineau, Quebec, Sherbrooke, Trois-Rivières, everyone's coming. To be honest, it's awesome right now.
How badly has the strike affected commuting in Laval?
Well, obviously there's a flip side to this story. I went to the Montmorency station where there's the Laval terminus, and I saw quite a few people who were unfortunately stuck without a bus. And a lot of them were very, very busy or very worried that they couldn't get to their appointments or job in time. It was difficult to get a hold of someone, but I was able to get a hold of Philippe, who had this to say.
I'm not that much happy because I have an appointment, a medical appointment, and that's it.
And what are the drivers hoping will come out of this strike?
Well, they're fighting for better wages. That's what Mr. Latour told me. They're wanting for better wages, better advantages. They've been negotiating for around 2 years. But in addition to that, they're fighting for the claims that the people or the government is saying at COP26. The government is claiming that they want to invest more in public transports, yet it doesn't seem to look that way from the people here, the people working for the public transports.
Thank you, Cédric. Premier François Legault announced that Quebec will invest $5 billion into making half of urban buses electric by 2030. This is an effort by the government to significantly reduce carbon emissions. Nadia Trudel has the story.
In Quebec's continuing efforts to combat climate change, half of Quebec's urban buses should be fully electric by 2023. This is a move opposition parties seem to all agree on, with Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois, the leader of Québec solidaire, saying this.
It's one of the things we have to do in Quebec to electrify our vehicles, including our buses. So yeah, it's a good news. What I expect is those buses to be constructed in Quebec. We have the expertise, we have the staff to do this. I urge the government to make sure that 100% of those vehicles are constructed here in Quebec.
But will these buses be made in Quebec? The premier said that while international regulations need to be respected, he's confident the majority of these buses will be built in Quebec. And with a $5 billion investment in the project, that definitely wouldn't hurt the province's economy. Bus manufacturer Lion, which is fully electric, was named, but when I spoke to Lion, they said they were not expecting the announcement to affect them, as they mainly made smaller buses, not the big public transport ones the project is aiming. So it remains to be seen if Novabus, another Quebec manufacturer, will be able to handle the size of this order or to shift to a fully electric model. Nadia Trudel, Concordia News.
Montreal has been selected by the International Sustainability Standards Board to be the city for the North American headquarters. Montreal has once again been recognized for their ecosystem finances that is world-renowned. There are over 20 institutions in the city that dedicate a combined $900 billion towards durable financing. Montreal was voted the third most important city in North America when it comes to international relations. It seems Hydro-Quebec dropped the ball on their project to export our electricity to New England. It turns out that most voters in Maine are in favor of blocking the project. Mackenzie Sanch has the story.
Hydro-Quebec's project to provide clean energy to New England was rejected in Maine. More than half the state's citizens voted against this $10 billion project that was already underway. Hydro-Québec spokesperson Francis Labbé says the company is still analyzing its options to ensure that this project goes through.
We'd like to recall that we obtained all the permits and all the authorizations from the state and the federal government in the United States to proceed with that line.
In reaction to the referendum results, Québec Solidaire chief Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois says he believes hydroelectricity shouldn't be Quebec's only bet to combat climate change. Still, hydroelectricity expert Sebastian Weissenberger says that hydroelectricity is a good way to go, but it has its conditions.
So definitely it contributes to reducing greenhouse gas emissions if you replace fossil fuels by it, of course.
All we can do for now is wait and see what Hydro-Québec's next move will be. This is Mackenzie Sanche for Concordia News.
The Atikamekw Nation have voiced their displeasure with extractive industries and notably forest industries as their Aboriginal rights seem to have been violated. These companies have extracted resources from their land without consent and cut the Atikamekw Nation out of the equation completely. They have made a formal claim to Quebec Prime Minister François Legault in order to correct this pressing issue. Quebecers seem to be lacking confidence in every area, according to a survey of 1,000 people compared with June 2020. Talia Cliot is live in the studio with the story. Talia, what exactly are Quebecers losing confidence in?
Well, everything. It's pretty bleak. Both trust and society in others has declined by 8%, and both trust in colleagues and the provincial government has declined by 6% from June 2020.
And where are these results? Were these results unexpected?
So those conducting the survey were disappointed by the results. They found them disheartening. The Institute of Confidence in Organizations, a Quebec nonprofit group, conducted the survey. The co-founder, Donald Riendeau, said that they expected things to be better after the pandemic, but he also explained that though the sanitary stage of the pandemic seems to be coming to an end, at least in Quebec, there are still like large factors from its aftermath affecting trust in organizations.
But there's two other parts. There's the economic crisis and the social crisis. And we're just talking about seeing these two.
Why is there a lack of trust?
So there are many factors for a lack of trust and confidence in society, but the pandemic makes up for a big part of it. Sociologist Jean-Marc Fontan explains that people can't really envision the future, can't see themselves in the future, so it's really hard to have confidence in the institutions that kind of control it. He says that even though restrictions have eased up, obviously, things are not the same as they were in March 2020.
One, we are not going back to the normality we had before, and some people were expecting a new normality.
Fontan also notes that the pandemic is not the only factor for this lack of trust. Political unrest and polarization of the states and other countries play a role and transfer down to us in Canada. Still, the Institute of Confidence in Society has hope that when they repeat the survey in April, there will be more positive results.
Thank you, Talia. A woman died in a fire last night in Vaudreuil-Dorion. Emergency was called around 1:45 p.m., and they realized there was an inanimate person on the scene. The victim was transported to hospital in very critical condition immediately after resuscitation matters. They were pronounced dead within hours. There were no other people in the residence, and neighboring homes were evacuated as precaution. In the arts world, a Tupac museum will be opening in January. Tarantino set to drop Pulp Fiction NFTs, and Britney Spears blames mother for her conservatorship. Here is Anthony Issa with the latest.
Pop star Britney Spears slammed her mother, Lynn Taylor, on social media. She blames her as the orchestrator of the conservatorship that she claims ruined her life. The singer also took issue with the recent Netflix documentary. She doesn't like that it portrays her father as the sole figure who took legal control of her personal and professional affairs 13 years ago. The debate over the termination of her conservatorship is still ongoing in the courts.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey.
Renowned director Quentin Tarantino is getting into the world of NFTs. He is said to be auctioning off 7 never-released scenes from his film Pulp Fiction. The scenes will include handwritten scripts and audio commentary from Tarantino himself. The NFTs are being built on the Secret Network, a blockchain company that encrypts transactions and ownership data. This means the scenes will only be viewable to the owners of the non-fungible tokens. An immersive museum exploring the life of legendary late rapper Tupac Shakur will be revealed in January. The Los Angeles exhibit titled Wake Me When I'm Free will delve into the artist's activism and music. The exhibit's co-producer said the music will use Tupac as a character to analyze the themes of race in America. In other arts news, Shang-Chi star Simu Liu is set to host Saturday Night Live in November. He will be debuting on the 20th. In Hollywood, 200 cinematographers are calling on a functional firearms ban on movie sets. This is in response to the fatal accident that occurred on the production of Rust with Alec Baldwin. Lastly, the new Morbius trailer dropped this week. Jared Leto is set to star as Marvel's vampire antihero. It will be releasing in theaters on January 28, 2022.
Thank you, Anthony. Bad news, everyone. Daylight savings is going to come to an end on November 7. However, the good news is that you can buy alcohol for an additional hour as a result. This may be a difficult time of year for us all, but that hour will give you some more time to drown it out. This is not the news we wanted, but it is rather the news we needed. We're expecting a mix of sun and clouds with high temperatures in the single digits through the weekend. The sun is starting to shine, but it's evident that winter is fast approaching with the frigid weather we have outside. Next week should offer up more of the same. Cuddling season is also right around the corner, so the time has come to find your significant other. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Peter Briones.